comes to Bozak, onto the boards and back to the point. It comes to Morgan Riley. Dished off on the far side for Bozak. Centering pass, scores! Scores! Tyler Bozak! Holy mackinaw, the Leafs have won it! Tyler Bozak deflects the shot past Holtby! Hey, Mike Modano, there's going to be at least six games!
What a game, guys. I guess Mike Modano was right. These two home games are going to be something we enjoy, but it's not going to be Caps in five. I hate to break it to him. It might be Leafs in five now by the looks of things, but that might be a bit presumptuous on my part. Either way, huge victory for the Leafs tonight. Third straight overtime game. Tyler Bozak was the hero. A lot of guys played a key role in tonight's game. Joining me as always is Omar, Jake, Dave, the usual cast. How are you guys doing after tonight's huge win?
I didn't think I was going to have a voice to come onto the podcast. I mean, Maple Leaf Square was rocking. It was freaking cold outside. So my one recommendation if you're going down there is to layer up. It was unreal. Unreal tonight.
Yeah, oh, for me, fuck the cold, Dave. Come on. Buzzing. But buzzing, though. I think everybody in, you know, every Leafs fan agrees, you know, they're on cloud nine right now. I mean, to go up 2-1 on a team that everybody that essentially destroyed us 2 weeks ago is, I would have never seen it. You know, my prediction was that I thought right after that game, I thought they were going to sweep us, but the turnaround that's been made by so many players has been incredible. But tonight was just an awesome game for sure.
Yeah. Another thing to add is just watching this game, you just see that this team just never quits. You go down 2-0 and like a lot of fans and stuff were panicking. The ACC was quiet, but then they just kept going, you know, even though they can never get a call. And then Washington got all these penalties, but they just kept going, kept scoring goals and got the win. It was honestly an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to like with this team. I mean, man, coming back from 3-1 down 2 goals. That's something we haven't seen a lot this season. We've seen a lot of teams do it to us, but now it's nice to see the Leafs do it to somebody else. On tonight's podcast, you know, usually we get on here, we just kind of rip through a conversation and see where it goes. We're going to take Coach Babcock's advice and have a little more structure on the podcast, see where that goes. So we're going to go through four things you guys need to know about the game if you missed it, Bab quotes, and then we're going to go through tweets of the night for fans and a little more banter with us. Probably some more candid moments from a fan favorite, Jake Middleton. I'm sure that will happen at some point. So, guys, if anybody was to miss the game tonight, let's talk about four things you need to know. Dave, what's one thing somebody would need to know if they missed tonight's game?
Okay, the first being Martin Marincin. The way he played on the penalty kill tonight was unreal. He stayed out for a whole 2 minutes on the 5-on-3, and he was huge on when they did the too many men penalty. He was very good tonight, and you don't say that a lot about Martin Marincin, but he earned his paycheck tonight.
Omar, what's one thing that somebody's got to know if they missed the game?
All right, so if you saw the OT winner, obviously it was Tyler Bozak who scored it. However, that goal was not by chance, not by skill. It was prophecy. So
that's a play. That was a tip pass for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. However, okay, so goal scored on the power play, right? And it was a high stick by Lars Eller. Now, if you remember, Lars Eller was drafted first round pick in 2007 by San Jose. And they got that pick from a trade with the Toronto Maple Leafs, where they were
Professor Toskala.
Professor Toskala, exactly. So if you have some beef with Toskala after a while, you should congratulate him, because with that high stick, Leafs get the power play and the win.
That's the greatest thing I heard.
makes it all worth it, giving up the right for Logan Couture for one high stick goal.
Hey. Win. Leafs are up 2-1. Enjoy it.
Yeah, baby steps.
Jake, get to your point before you remind us of some more bad times.
No, I mean, you know, I was also, outside of that, you know, got to watch Ricard Raquel and Gibson, but we're past that. We're in a different time. You know, for mine, it's got to be that five different goal scorers again. I mean, it's again for the Leafs. It's by committee. It's not just a one or two line team like, you know, a couple teams in the playoffs where you can just shut down one line and they're done. They are scoring. I think they've had 9 different goal scorers of their 10 goals, and that's just insane balance. I mean, obviously the big thing for me was getting that first line going, and obviously Nylander and Matthews had their first goals, which is huge for their confidence. I mean, Did you see their goal celebrations? Those guys were fired up to get those goals. Really big goals too. Matthews to get them in the game, or else they probably would have gotten blown out if it wasn't for that. And obviously Nylander getting the game tying goal. So, you know, pretty awesome to see, you know, that's being done as a committee, and it's really cool to see that, you know, not everybody, it's not just the first line or the second line. It's also, you know, the fourth line and the third line. And that's going to be really important moving forward and maybe even later on in the playoffs.
Let's hope they go further. For me, it was all about that 5-on-3 to Leafs kill in the second period. It was huge. If the Capitals scored, I mean, they would have went up 4-1, and that likely would have been the nail in the coffin. But the Leafs killed that off. Like Dave said earlier, Martin Marincin was a big part of that penalty kill. And it really propelled the Leafs all the way until the third period. And when they got in the third period, they absolutely dominated the Capitals. It took the Capitals 13 minutes and 25 seconds just to register a shot. And in the period as a whole, the Leafs outshot attempted the Capitals 28-9. So ever since that 5-on-3 penalty kill, it was nothing but domination by the Leafs. And we saw the end result. Better team deserved to win tonight, and they got the result with a 4-3 W. Guys, Jake, you said on your point there, the Matthews line was amazing tonight. Were they the best line for the Leafs?
Honestly, as good as they were, overall, I actually don't think so. I actually think that Kadri line was, because he was the MVP of the game by far, easily. Not even a debate. It was Kadri. I mean, he was hitting everyone and everything. That shift where, was it the one that got the Matthews goal? I think it was. Yeah. Where he absolutely leveled Brooks Orpik twice. That's a guy that probably outweighs him by about 40, 45 pounds. And he absolutely just destroyed him twice. And it really just set the tempo, and it got the crowd back into it. And, you know, boom, right after that, the Leafs scored two goals. I mean, it wasn't a fluke. You know, you saw something coming, and that line was huge today. And obviously they got, you know, the second goal, or was it the second goal? Yeah, I think it was the second one off of Kadri's thrown in. But that line was really good. But I'm not taking anything away from that Matthews line, because they were dominant. And if anybody ever says anything about William Nylander ever getting traded, tell them to go be a fan of someone else, because they're an idiot. I mean, he might be one of the top three players in this whole series.
I think he's like the Leafs' best forward right now.
Yeah, easily. Might be. I mean, just the way he holds the puck is, you know, it's special. It's something that you don't see often, and it might be, you know, one of the top five in the league in terms of holding onto the puck and making plays with it. And he's 19, or he's 20 years old.
Well, to finish off on Kadri, Dave or Omar, this one's for either of you guys. I found it interesting how you look at tonight, Kadri and Bozak were kind of the heroes. The last time the Leafs were in the playoffs, they were really dependent upon to do so many things for this team, whereas this season now, they're in a more of a supporting role, which you could say is better suited for them. But I just kind of find it funny the transition they've made in their career. Do you think this is like the ideal role for them, where they can just sit back and, you know, kind of chip in whenever?
Yeah, I think it speaks to what Jake was saying earlier on how four different players scored. I think now, instead of being at the forefront, at the head of the team, now Bozak and Kadri can kind of just like stay behind and play their own game and be contributors and be, you know, main triggers to the team when they need to be, instead of being looked upon to provide offense all the time. You know, in the previous game, you have the fourth line that's buzzing, and now you have Kadri and Bozak being the heroes. So I think it just speaks to the overall identity of this team. It's not just one or two players, even though, yes, you have Matthews, Nylander, Marner at the forefront, but every single line has a serious threat, and they can come at you at any point in time. So it's great to see and great to have.
Just seeing how both players have matured since the last time the Leafs were in the playoffs. Like, you look at the celebration on the ice after Bozak scored, and just him having, you know, you see that little playful fighting with Marner. Like, you see the way that he's taken the younger guys under his wing. And you see Kadri, who is taking a more responsible role with the team, which many would probably not have expected if you'd asked him about 4 years ago if he would be able to do something like this. So I think they've just become a more mature group. They know, and part of it, I think, has to do with Babcock and Shanahan and the way that the culture has changed with this team. And I think tonight was a perfect example of that. And, yeah, it's just really – it's mind-boggling to think, like, only 4 years ago the Leafs were – down in the dumps after a terrible series, well, ending to a series against the Bruins, with both those guys kind of... People were always questioning whether they should be around and how they're miscast, especially Bozak as the number one center, and then Kadri of how he is not panned out. Well, I think they've pretty much silenced those doubters now.
Yeah, for me, I mean, you know, those big parts of what, you know, we remember it was called the rotten core, because remember the core is rotten. But, I mean, you know, I've never really been a massive Bozak fan, but just the season he's been able to put together and in the playoffs has been nothing short of magnificent. I mean, from where I thought he was as a player, you know, I was full on last year, just like, hey, you know, if we can get a second round pick for him, I'll take it. At this point, you know, he looks like a guy that should be that deserves another contract. I don't know how long, but he definitely deserves another opportunity to see if, you know, he can get to the promised land with this team, because he's been incredible, not only this season, but in the playoffs too. I mean, he just looks faster to me. And I don't know if it's, you know, the joyful exuberance that's around him and guys like Marner, but he looks like a completely different player than not even last year's or the year before. And it's awesome to see those guys getting their redemption, so to speak.
Before we get into Bab quotes, fun little new segment we're going to do here. One of the guys, obviously, who's in control of this roster and what it's going to look like going forward is Lou Lamoriello. I know we all saw his little celebration at the end, if you want to even call it that.
He smiled.
Does he
guys.
Does he celebrate for anything? I know, like, he smiled. Does that count? Does tonight count as a celebration?
I think he only smiled because Shanahan was kind of like, you know, doing a little celebration. Because if you actually watch Lou the whole time, his face is just stone cold, and then he doesn't smirk until he looks at Shanahan. So I actually think he wasn't even smiling at the fact they won. You know, just another day in the office.
Yeah,
and for all the things with people saying, hey, he's got to lighten up and stuff like that, but I think it's just been so good for the whole team, because, you know, he's pretty much, you know, he's the number two in command behind Shanahan, and just that attitude of professionalism, and, you know, they're not a joke anymore, you know, and it's because of that man, and you can see now why he's won 3 Stanley Cups and been to what I think it was about 5 or 6 finals. And it's just the guy is so professional and keeps everything the way it should be. And it's honestly, it's been awesome. I, you know, for all the people I know in New Jersey that were saying, you know, he was the reason the Devils were in this situation. You know, I mean, I think it goes to prove that he's definitely not over the hill. And he's a guy that I hope is here when, you know, the Leafs can eventually and hopefully win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, for me, I can summarize Lou in a really short way here with this tonight's celebration, if you want to call it that. These two wins are nice, but there's 14 more to go. That's literally how I think Lou just envisions all of this. He'll celebrate when they get 16 wins.
He Until reminds then, me, nice. Him and Bob Babcock, just they just remind me of the greats in the sports right now, like Belichick and Popovich, guys who are just never satisfied, and Nick Saban too. I mean, you know, as much as I hate Saban, the guy never smiles, but he always wins. So, the worst part is seeing him smile for about 10 minutes after they win their national championships, him and Belichick too. But I mean, if you can even be considered in the same breath as those guys, you know, you're doing something right.
Couldn't have said it better. Let's get into Bab quotes here. Each podcast, we're going to try and pick a quote from Mike Babcock, because he's had so many great lines this postseason so far. So we're going to pick a quote from him, and we'll play the soundbite, and then we'll give you our 2 cents about it. So, here's a quote from Babcock before the playoffs started, and it was all about, you know what, I won't spoil it for you. Just have a listen.
Well, that's the whole key, as you know. So if you let them get going, then they're going and they're loose and driving. But that pucker factor is an unbelievable thing. And until you've been the best seat, until you have your whole city expecting, you don't know what that's like and how good a defense that is for the underdog. It's unbelievable.
Okay, so guys, is pucker luck a real factor here? I know Babcock was saying it's a beautiful thing, you know. Is it? I mean, is this a real factor for the Caps now?
I had no clue what that meant right when I heard it the first time. It's just one of those Bab quotes that you just shake your head and you're like, what the heck did I just hear? But the Leafs have definitely benefited from luck, and especially in this game. I mean, Shattenkirk missing the wide open net, Kuznetsov hitting the crossbar, they had so many missed chances. And, I mean, it could mean the difference between the Leafs being up 2-1 or being down 2-1. So I guess the Leafs have gone some pucker luck, if you want to say
that. What about Matthews' first goal going off of Schmidt's face?
Well, you got to be good to be lucky.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. And not even host I mean, the fact that when he goes through Carlson and Schmidt, Schmidt literally does a full 360. And when he's facing the right way, the puck's in the net. So I guess it just speaks to how the Leafs are going, how this series is going as well.
You got to be good to be lucky. You got to be lucky to be good. So, I mean, that's the moral for me. But, yeah, they've definitely gotten some bounces to go their way. But, I mean, hey, it's not like they've just completely bottled their chances. I mean, look at the Caps. They've had a couple lucky breaks go their way. You know, that Anderson first goal was the overtime winner by Wilson wasn't a good goal. And there's some luck. I mean, you know, a bunch of different things going off of guys and stuff like that. So we've definitely had our fair share of bad puck luck. Let's not forget the last game against Pittsburgh where Gardner scored off his own shoe, off his own skate. So, you know, I think it kind of goes both ways, but hey, I'll take the peak right now.
Well, the main thing he was saying with the pucker luck is that the pressure gets cranked up immensely.
And he means puck luck, right?
I think so. I mean, I don't have a good answer to give you.
We need a BAP translator. We got to find an expert on BAP quotes. Someone from Detroit that can be solved.
Maybe Blashill.
Blashill, yeah.
They're very similar when they talk. That's the funny part. It's like his clone.
Well, with all the pressure being on Washington now, after the game, the Capitals Network had how concerned are you? They had a poll. It was like relax, not worried, overwhelmingly concerned, and 97% were overwhelmingly concerned.
Oh, man.
I mean, I was there for game two. They're definitely concerned. I don't think they were during the beginning of the game, but after the game, I had people saying, you know, this is a really good team. And they're like, this kind of reminds me of the Pittsburgh series last year. And for me, I could not have said it better myself. I think they are basically mirroring what that series was against Pittsburgh. And I was, you know, we were talking about this, Chris, in the group chat. Why are they pretty much catering to the Leafs style?
I have no idea.
No sense to me. They think they can run and gun with them, and they can't.
Buddy, there's one play the Leafs continuously do this entire – well, the past game two and three, they've done it at will. They'll enter the zone off the wing, and you'll kind of see them dump it in the corner a little bit. And because the Caps D is so slow to get back there, they're just beating them to the puck with sheer foot speed every single time.
Yep.
And the Leafs just set up in the zone after and sling the puck around and get a shot on net. It's crazy how the Capitals don't adjust to that. I don't get why they don't just do the LA Kings and control the possession of the puck and just try and literally make the Leafs play defense. Like, the Leafs' D is depleted. Make them play D.
It actually looked like how they're going to do that in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Like, they're, like, you know, hacking and whacking at Zaitsev a little bit. And you kind of got that sense that it was working after the first goal where Zaitsev and Gardner were on the ice for. But the Leafs just kept on going. To speak to the style, like, that's basically how the OT winner went. You know, Marner gets the puck in low, lifts up Niskanen's stick, and that allows Bozak to get the puck, get it to Kadri, to Bozak, to Riley on the point, back to Kadri, shot, tip in, and get the win. So it's weird how they're not adjusting at all. Like, at the beginning of the series, everyone had, you know, Washington in five, Washington in four. Some people were joking around saying Washington in three, and now to sit here and see the Leafs up 2-1, it's amazing. It's sick. I think you slowly start to get a chance, get the idea that maybe they can actually win this series.
This reminds me a lot of when I used to watch, well, we watched Team Canada at the Olympics, and any time that they did not have the puck, they were right on whoever the opposing team was. They were right on
the puck pressure, but, by the Leafs has been, and the forechecking has just been insane. I mean, they're just throwing at the guys at the defenseman's feet, you know, Schmidt, Orpik, you know, Shattenkirk is a great offensive defenseman, but he's not anything to write home about defensively.
Yeah.
And they're just punishing them. You know, whether it be, you know, Kadri hitting them whenever they can, and they're just getting at them and by putting at their feet, and it's just killing them. I don't know how the Caps can recover. I mean, I'm glad I'm not on Barry Trotz's coaching staff, but, you know, it's something that the Leafs have to continuously do if they want to close this out.
This guy's got to wake up, man. Something I wanted to ask you too, Jake, that I didn't get a chance to was, the Leafs power play in game one and two. In game one, they only had one opportunity. But in game two, the first, I want to say, two power play chances they had, they looked awful. They couldn't set up. The puck was literally like they had a difficult time entering the zone. Now you see it's a much different power play. What's changed? Is it just they're more comfortable, or is there something that's changed?
I think it's just confidence and the fact that when you have pretty much you're not getting any calls and you get one, you're basically thinking to yourself, you know, we have to score this. We gotta make them pay when you can. And it's kind of a little easier when you have, you know, time to set up and have a couple kicks at the can because, you know, no power play is 100%. So, I mean, it's just you got to be realistic with yourself. And if you're given an opportunity, I think for me, if you can go 1-for-4 every game on the power play, you're going to win the game. And, I mean, obviously the big thing is goals on the power play. And the Leafs had one, right? Didn't they have one?
Before tonight's game?
Yeah. How many power play goals did they have tonight, I'm asking?
Oh, tonight they had the one.
Yeah, the one.
Yeah, the game winner.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's something that you're going to break through once in a while. This is a really, really good and really disciplined team. So, you know, I think just it's just sooner or later before their power play gets going. And especially with how they've adjusted to the Caps, it's not something you want to see if you're a Capitals fan because they're getting more and more comfortable by the looks at it. I mean, because the Leafs were just, from the second period on, dismantled this team.
Okay, one of the new segments we're going to include in the podcast, too, for each game night is Tweets of the Night. So we're going to pick a couple tweets from fans across Twitter, you know, all the TML Talk hashtag, and read them out on the air here. So the first one comes from @Echo594. He says, Eller, classy, smacking Martin in the face, really brave. I guess he couldn't find anyone smaller to bully.
Martin, right? Martin?
No, Marner.
Oh, yeah, Marner, yeah. Marner. I thought you said Martin for a second.
Oh, sorry. Eller when he went after Marner. Eller went after Marner.
I'm telling you guys, it's prophecy. Eller smacks him in the face, takes the high stick, power play OT winner.
I was looking if you connected those dots.
Yeah, me neither. I wouldn't have even thought of that.
Yeah. The second one comes from Nathan Carr on air. If you're a Maple Leafs fan who smokes and has a beard, right now you've got to be feeling a huge missed opportunity. Hashtag dark guy, hashtag TML talk. I mean, the ACC was lit tonight, no pun intended.
Dark guy is a legend. On Sunday morning, he had like 880 followers on Twitter, and now he has close to 10,000. Like, he's everywhere now. He was at the tailgate. He was on Overdrive today.
Yeah, he was hilarious on Overdrive, too.
I try to get a selfie with him at the square, but, I mean, when you have three different he had to go to the game. He had an interview with James Duthie. He had Tim and Sid. Like, this guy was, the superstar of the night.
He got after it, let's just say. In Washington, he got after it, and you know, it's just really cool to see, you know, like the fan base kind of getting behind such a blue collar guy. I mean, he said he's just a guy that paints cars and lives in Sudbury. So, I mean, it's really cool that, you know, the internet's basically allowed to make him famous and get him to games. And I love it personally.
Yeah, it's great.
He's from Sudbury and he lives in Waterloo, but same thing. Pretty close. I think it's hilarious. I love it. When I first saw him on TV, I'm like, this guy is going to go viral because he's like, he's not the crime Michael Jordan face, but you can make him into so many things. And people are throwing him all over anything Capitals right now. I've seen somebody Photoshop on the Barry Trotz. I've seen him Photoshop on the logo. I'm crying. I just see him everywhere. All right, one final tweet here. You were going to say, Omar?
Oh, I think someone's actually a Photoshop the crying Jordan face over his face after Washington lost today.
The internet is undefeated, man. The internet is undefeated. All right, the last tweet here comes from @GeorgeMastoris. Nice job, Scott Oak, connecting on the jaw with that TJ Oshie question. @HockeyNight hashtag TML talk.
Scott Oak needs to interview every Capitals player in the intermission.
I got to see this. I heard he was just shook.
Well, for those that don't know what happened, Scott Oak was interviewing TJ Oshie after the second intermission, and the Caps blew that big 5-on-3 power play. They couldn't score. So Scott Oak asked TJ Oshie, he goes, you know, missed opportunity there. Were you guys trying to get too perfect and try and score the perfect goal? And TJ Oshie goes, we're past that. We're not even thinking about that anymore. And you could tell he was rattled right after he asked that question.
Yeah, maybe Scott Oak is just secretly just planting doubt in the minds of the Capitals players with every interview he does with them. First with Justin Williams after he scored the first. That was after the first period of the first game because we had the pump the brakes quotes. And, I mean, Justin Williams has been silent since then. So I think I think Leafs fans owe Scott Oak some props with the way he's able to get into the Capitals' minds.
You should not pump the brakes. I'll tell you that right now. You got to have the didn't. All right. Let's get back into talking about the game here in the Leafs. No more shitty jokes.
You don't pay me enough to do sound effects, so sorry.
We don't have a board. You know, we're just four guys still. Jake wants a green screen over here for videos, so we gotta get a budget.
We have to get like an intern just for a bleeper for Jake every time he's.
Dude, the whole podcast would just be one long beep. there would be absolutely no audio.
If after a big loss, it for sure would.
Never mind a big loss, Jake. I think you kind of I don't want to say ate your words a bit here, but. Your buddy Zach Hyman's been playing really well these past two games. What's going on with that?
Oh, God.
The past two games, I mean, you know, I kind of saw the drivetrain part, I guess.
I'm sorry to hear you. What'd you say?
I guess he's got a pretty good drivetrain. I mean, it's kind of when you watch him on goals, that first line scores, you look at it and you're just like, he didn't do anything. But, you know, on that third goal by Nylander, you know, he pressured the puck carrier. Who won it? He obviously gave it to Matthews, who has actual skill and made an incredible pass between his legs. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is you just look at his stats and the fact that he has no hands, and I'll still say he should not be playing in that line, but you know, he's just a guy that will give everything he has and will do anything because he knows he's limited offensively. And, you know, I think the Caps are kind of keying off that, too. I'm pretty sure it was a two-on-one with him and Nylander, and they basically shaded the entire way to Nylander. So, but, you know, he's just a guy that, you know, brings his lunch pail with him to work, and he gets after the defenseman all the time. And he's definitely a guy that is an important piece on this team right now and moving forward for sure.
And if you want to bring in the fancy stats, 75% Corsi 4.
Pretty whatever good. That means.
Possession.
I feel like you read a script, Jake, from Babcock or something about Hyman there. That just doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. When he was asked a question, when somebody brought up to him, he's just like, hey, Hyman was really good today. And he's just like, what are you talking about? He's good every day.
I'm glad somebody noticed.
Yeah, glad somebody noticed. He's good every game. It's like sometimes like, all right, come on. Really, Babs? Really? When he missed that wide open net against Pittsburgh, was he really great that game? But, I mean, I guess you just have to embrace him for what he is. Is it obviously offensively challenged forward, but he's a guy that, you know, he's never going to cheat you for effort. And it's important to have those guys on your team because – you know, they're obviously important to winning championships.
Okay, so let's talk about where the series goes from here now. The good folks over at MoneyPuck.com, they're dropping projections all the time. So now the Leafs have a 65% chance to win the series. They have a 20% chance to win in 7, a 23% chance to win in 6, and a 22% chance to win in 5. I know this is very presumptuous because they're up 2-1. There's a lot of hockey left to play, but do you guys feel like they got a pretty good shot now, or are you still – think Washington's going to take this?
I think it's officially for the first time a coin flip. And I know they have a game lead and, you know, obviously the stats won't say that they are even to win it, but this team, I'll say it now. I mean, I think the only team that could beat the Leafs in a 7-game series, the way they're playing right now, is Washington and Pittsburgh. And they would beat every other team in the league playing how they are right now. And this team, they're so deep too. I mean, you know, it's kind of nice for Caps fans to see a guy like Kuznetsov scoring. Obviously, he had that stupid celebration, but getting him, Ovechkin, and Backstrom on the score sheet is obviously, I guess, I guess it's one of the positives you can draw if you're a Caps fan, but they're a really good team, and I think it's going to go seven games, but at this point, I don't know who's going to win. It's been that close. I mean, look, they've gone to three straight overtime games. You can't get any more close than that. They could be up 3-0 right now. We could be up 3-0 right now. It's a complete toss-up for me.
Yeah, I think for a series like this, it's one of the series where you can't really throw in the whole, well, you know, if you win game four, then you have a this percent chance. It's just like what Jake said. It's, I think every game after this point is a coin flip, and it can go either way. Like, you know, like Jake brought up again, every game has gone to overtime, and there's no telling that every game after this is going to go to overtime as well. But I think. The final result is going to come down to whether the Leafs can continue this play that they've been on. If they can play like this every single night, then they have an absolute chance to win. But if they falter or lift their foot up the gas for either any game, then Washington can come up. They're rattled right now. You know, the fans are going crazy. You know, all the press is asking questions. You know, Torts's eyebrows been twitching for the past 3 days straight. Like, they're like, it's a mess right now. And the Leafs have an opportunity to continue to capitalize on that pressure that they have and win. So if they can continue to play, get the solid depth from all four lines, Anderson continues to play well, then I think they can take this even maybe game six. I don't know. Yeah, I'm totally completely doing a 180 on what I believe before, but I think after watching how the Leafs have played, I think they can do it.
2 points for me here. One is, if the Leafs want any chance of continuing the success, it's going to come down to Freddie Anderson, like you guys have mentioned. And I'm going to take a little page out of Omar's book here and bring up some past history, because I just checked the score in the Chicago-Nashville game, which is now tied and going into overtime. And the guy who scored both goals for Washington... I mean, sorry, for Nashville.
For Nashville's Forsberg, yeah.
Philip Forsberg. And if Omar's whole prophecy works out...
E-Rat. Yeah,
E-Rat was traded for Philly. Jake, can you let me troll Caps fans just for 1 second here? Because the Leafs are the ones that always get bit in the ass when it comes to former players. Imagine what Washington would be like if they had a guy like Philip Forsberg on their team. I think they're missing a guy that, I mean, they have a great team, but they're lacking something that can match what the Leafs are doing right now.
Soft.
All right. We'll go with that one. No, I think the Leafs' intensity has really been a big thing here, and Washington just is not able to match it. So those two things are going to be important for the Leafs, and I can't say for sure whether they can continue it, but they've got a good shot. They're like they said, they're having fun doing this, and usually when you're having fun, you don't want the fun to end. So they're gonna do their best to keep it going.
For me, I'm with Jake. I mean, it's legitimately a coin flip now, and this isn't exactly groundbreaking analysis, but when you look at the goals that have been scored on both of these goalies, they've been good goals for the most part, like, or goals that they don't really have a chance on. So I think between Holpe and Anderson, whatever goalie can just get hot and kind of carry one of their teams out, because defensively, they're both playing pretty similar. I mean, they each have had their breakdowns, but the first goalie to actually steal a game or two, that's going to be the difference in this series. And it's so cliche to say in the playoffs, but we're yet to really truly see a goalie steal a game in this series. Anderson's came close, but I don't think he's stolen a game. He's kept the Leafs in the game, but he hasn't stolen the game, if that makes sense. So I think the first goalie to do that will change this entire series. I think on that note, we're done, guys. I mean, awkward pause. That's a pretty surefire sign that the podcast is done. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this post-game episode of the Toronto Maple Leafs podcast, brought to you by Tip of the Tower. As always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes or SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower again. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris O'Kranitz. You can follow Jake on Twitter at JakeMiddleton12. You can follow Dave on Twitter at D_Morisuti. And you can follow Omar on Twitter at OLW93. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. Enjoy the Game 3 victory. We'll see you back here again Wednesday night, and hopefully we'll go up 3-1. Until then, take care.
was proud happy to select from Modo, Sweden, William Nylander.
The Knights, Mitch Marner.